today is going to be a very, very different Hanukkah presentation than you're used to. And I think it's important in life sometimes to be open to the ayin padin latara. We're going to be taking a bit of a hashkafic slash Hasidic view of Hanukkah, which you probably have never been exposed to. But if you're ready to open yourselves up, I can almost guarantee you it could change your Hanukkah for the rest of your life and Dore Doro for the lives of your families for many years to come. So either you can walk away inspired or bored, and the choice is really up to you. Got it? We're on the same page? Yeah? Okay, so let's start. Being either inspired or bored. Try to bear with me, because I don't do the shoe without cheese. So just be creative. Ready? I don't know how I'm going to be creative. I don't have my own cheese here. I'm a very laid back teacher. Have you noticed that? I do can relax. Chill a little bit. The California part of it. Take a look at three pieces of Chazal. Raise two questions on each piece, then develop a yesod about Hanukkah. Understand the yesod and how it applies to Hanukkah and practically for our life. And then see the same yesod from the individual perspective on the first level, and then from the national communal perspective on the second level. The first Gemara in Shabbos, we're all familiar with, the Gemara says, Mai Chanukah. What is Chanukah? And the Gemara tells us the story, how when the Greeks had entered the temple, they had defiled all the oils in the temple, and when the Jews came back, they found only a pach katan, a small cruse of oil, which was still intact, not with the seal of the high priest, with the Kohen Gadol, knowing that it was tahor. And there was enough oil with it to light for one day, and they lit it for 8 days. The following year, they were koveya, they established these days for Hallel, for Thanksgiving to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the first two questions we have is question number one. In looking at the Gemara of Chanukah, we see clearly that the focus of the Gemara is the Pach Shemen, is the focus of the war, of the aspect of the oil. And yet, when we look at the Al HaNisim, we have no mention of the oil. The whole focus of the Al Nisim is the war. The rabim b'yameyatim, the many in the hands of the few. The whole focus is only at the end. You mentioned, and then they came to the Beis HaMikdash, v'idliku neiros v'chatron kachach, and they lit the candles, but we don't even mention there was a miracle of the oil. Question one is, what's the focus of Chanukah? Is it the Pach Shemen? Is it the oil? Or is it the Mechama? Is it the war? Question number two is, very famous question of Beis Yosef, if indeed there was enough oil to last for one day, so then why do we have an 8-day holiday? It should be a 7-day holiday. The miracle only happened 7 days. The first day there was enough oil to light. Second Gemara. Also Gemara in Shabbos, which talks about Tanu Rabbanan and how do we light. So the Gemara says that the mitzvah is Ner Yishuvei, so every individual light. And then you have a Mahadrin, Ner V'cholecha V'echad, V'mahadrin Min Mahadrin V'choke, Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai holds the first night 8, and the last night 1, and Beit Shammai holds like we do, first night 1, and you ascend in order to 8. Third question. Where else in Yiddishkeit do you have this concept, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin? Either you do it, you have a hinder mitzvah, you have a purifying the mitzvah, but you have like, you know, the first day of Sukkot, you take one esrog. And the second day, you take two esrogim. I mean, all right, obviously there's a technical problem to be juggling 8 esrogim because I have to like, really practice for that one. But aside from the technical aspects, we don't have a concept elsewhere in Yiddishkeit of Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Minah, Mahadrin. Why is this unique for Hanukkah? Our fourth question is, what's the philosophical difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, 8 Gemara is the Gemara Megillah less well known. The Gemara says, "Lam Netzeach al Ayelat HaShachar," talking about the mizmor that the Ayelat HaShachar, the morning star, sung. So Chazal tell us, who is this Ayelat HaShachar? That's Esther Amalek. Why she called it Ayelat HaShachar? So says the Gemara, just like the morning star ends the evening period, so too Esther, so Kol Anisim Esther, the end of the miracle. So ask the Gemara, "Va'ayka Chanukah?" What about Chanukah? So Gemara answers, "Nichtav Nitnav Chtov Kamrinan." Chanukah is not written down. Esther is the last written down miracle. Again, two questions. Question one: what difference does it make whether Chanukah is written down or not written down? Esther doesn't end the miracle. Chanukah is certainly a miracle. And our final and sixth question is: why are we comparing Esther to the morning star that she ends the period of open miracles? Because if you say that, then Esther is compared to nighttime. And nighttime is the open miracles. That's counterintuitive. I would have thought that Esther should be sunset, that she ends this major miraculous period that would be compared to daytime, and Esther ends that, and she's sunset. Why is Esther the morning star ending the period of miracles and attributing the miracles to nighttime? So let's just review our six questions and then we can begin. Question number one is, what's the focus of Hanukkah? Is it the oil or is it the war? Question number two is, why do I have an 8-day holiday if the miracle only happens 7 days? Question number three is, why is Hanukkah unique in the Hajj, Mahajj, Min Mahajj? Question number four is, what's the philosophical difference between Beit Sham and Beit Hillel? Question number five is, why is Hanukkah not considered part of the miracles? So it's not condemned, so it's still a miracle. Question number six is, why is Esther compared to the morning star and not the sunset? All the miracles are compared to the nighttime period and not the daytime period. Those are our six questions. Now we can begin my friend. So you start with Hanukkah on Monday, you're well aware. It's a beautiful piece of Mishnah of Aaron and Aaron Kutler. He says in Schelet Gimel the following, that of all the Jewish holidays, and we normally don't look at it this way, Chanukah is unique in that Chanukah is mu'ad l'ruchnu, is specific, unique for ruchnu. We don't have anything really physical in the holiday. You have the lighting of the candles, which is also very ruchnu, as we speak about, very spiritual. And you have the aspect of Chanukah being special for Hallel and Hodayah, for giving thanks to God. Continues the Mishnah Rav Aaron. What does it mean, Hallel and Hodayah? It means to be grateful that everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does, the late Lamegamri, late Klum, that nothing belongs to us. We recognize Hishtabdut Ruchlet, that low, a complete submission to God, and that we have Shum to the Alamari, Yitzbarach, we have no complaints against God. But rather we understand that everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is the Chesed Gadol to us. But you know what, my friends? Let's try to understand this aspect of Hallel and Hodayah a little bit deeper. Chanukah, which is a time to say thank you to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just a time to say thanks God for everything you've done for me. You know, my house, my family, my school, my wife, thanks God. It's much deeper than that. We know that Chazal tell us that the first person to say thank you to Hashem was Leah, right? When she names her fourth son Yehuda, she says, "Hapam odeh Hashem." Now I'll give thanks to God. So ask Rabbi Weinberg, the Talmud Rebbe, a very, very, very basic question. It's a question that Chazal asked: why is it that Leah only says thanks after son number four? Should she not have said thanks over what son number one? You know, so Chazal, first you bring down a very famous answer that each one of the Imahos knew, that each of them were going to have three children, right? Four wives, 12 sons, 4 divided by 12 is 3. When she had the fourth and more than her chaylet, now she gives thanks, she has above and beyond. But the Talmud Rebbe has a much deeper pshat on this, a much different pshat. And he says the following. When Leah names her first three children, she names them in a lot of anguish. God heard my suffering. God sees my suffering. Now maybe my husband will be joined to me by Laban. When she has this fourth child, he says, she understands that the gift of the fourth child is being given to her because she has struggled and because she's in pain. And she's still in pain, and her pain hasn't left her. But she has an appreciation and awareness that sometimes the pain itself is part of the process. The apamodet Hashem, the hodaya, is not only on salvation. Sometimes it also has to be on the pain itself, on the struggles in life, which we understand are tailor-made for us to be the best us we can be. The pasuk in Yeshaya, Ozcha Hashem ki anachtavi. I thank God even though he's afflicted me. It's David HaMelech who's singing a mizmor when he's running away, mipnei Avshalom b'no. That model is the model of Hanukkah. And my friends, that Shad and the Alanisim, if we've ever paid attention to what we say, we say, Alanisim v'alapurkan v'alburos v'alchuos v'al hamachamos. Which one doesn't belong in that list? We have Nisim, the miracles, the Purkan, the salvation, the Chuos, the salvation, the Gvuros, the strength, and the Machamos, and the wars. Which one doesn't belong? Machamos. And in fact, there are some Girsos, there are some Mefarshim who explain that you read it, Ve'al HaGvuros, Ve'al HaChuos, not Ve'al HaMilchamos, and on the wars, but you read it, Al HaMilchamos. You read it Ba'al HaChuos, Al HaMilchamos, on the salvation for the war. Because how can you be thanking God for a war? So therefore, Ba'al HaChuos, Al HaMilchamos. It's for the Chuos, it's for the salvation, Al HaMilchamos, for the war. It's Ba'al HaChuos and Ba'al HaMilchamos. It's not only for the salvation, it's also for what are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu? For the Milchamos themselves. Because life is not always the Hollywood model where everything's going to be happily ever after. And you'll drive off in that, you know, whatever car, you know, down Rainbow Lane in the sunset with a pot of gold at the end. That's not Judaism. That's not life. And if you think that's life, so I have news for you, my friends, you're going to be very, very, very hurt. But if you're prepared that life is about, the life is about salvation and life is about struggling. And the struggles themselves are what make us who we are and form the character of who we are. So then there's halal and hodaya, there's ability to give thanks to Hashem for the chuos and the mochamos, for that aspect of the struggling as well. Hanukkah being halal and hodaya, Hanukkah being a time of gratitude, is gratitude for the entirety of the system, the complexity of life that allows us to become the best us we can be. Now, having said this, let's get back to our original question. When we said, my Hanukkah, so Rashi explains on the Gemara, my Hanukkah, the following, Al Eze Neis Kavuha, on what miracle are they establishing Hanukkah? That's what my Hanukkah means. My Hanukkah means that Chazal had in front of them two major options. Do we make the holiday of Halo and Hodaya for the war, or do we make it for the oil? And Chazal understood in their wisdom that if you make it only for the war, people will say, no, no big deal. Military brilliance, strategic planning, kofavelsim yodi, look how strong we are. If we're trying to create something that's going to be a wow thousands of years later, that I'm going to be moved and inspired through a halal and hodaya, I need something mamish incredible. And therefore, my Hanukkah means, al-eizen neis kavua means, what was a major miracle that's going to inspire people thousands of years later to feel this miracle. And of the two, they chose the neis pach shemen, the oil. You know, it's going to sound like a simplistic example, but it's the best I'm going to do. I'm sure many of you have been to an IMAX theater, yeah? Where you put on these 3D glasses. You don't do this? So I had an experience many years ago in the Science Museum in L.A. where my husband and I walked into the IMAX theater and one of us dropped our glasses walking in. So by the time we sat down, we had one glasses for two people. down in the deep. You know one of these things about the fish in the sea and all the plants that live here? So you put on these green glasses, and what do you see? It's gebaldet. It's fish. It's plant. It's incredible. And then, you know, you got to share the glasses. So you take them off and you give it to the next person. And what do you see now? A blurry screen. It was just there. It's gone. Okay, you put back the glasses. Incredible. That's life. The scene has been shifted. What shifted is my ability to perceive. All year round, we walk around with one-dimensional glasses. We don't see a spiritual reality. Like, if somebody were saying to me, can I borrow a pen? Here, take a pen. That's one-dimensional glasses. But if I understood from a third, three-dimensional perspective, that those, that chesed was creating malachim and shamayim, it's not, oh, here's a pen. Wow, I'd love to give you a pen. And the malachim and the shemayim is incredible. And that is what we're talking about in creating this incredible experience. This incredible experience of spirituality, being able to perceive it. All year round, we wear, it's a challenge to wear a 3D lens, but we wear a one-dimensional lens. Hanukkah is the time when it's a holiday where you need to put on a different perspective. And that perspective is to look at life and realize that there's nothing called Teva. There's nothing called nature. That everything is Nisei Hashem. It's a miracle. So when the Gemara says, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? The Gemara is saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to put on 3D lens to appreciate that oil can last for 8 days. Because everything is a miracle of God. Once you put on those 3D lenses, now you can look back at the Alanisim and talk about the war from that perspective. And you appreciate the war is clearly coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and not strategic and military brilliance. And this is how the Yaakov Lech HaTov in source number 14 explains our second question of why do we have an ancient holiday if there was enough oil to last one day. But now, my friends, we have such a deeper understanding of it because now we understand that the whole question and the premise of the question is incorrect. On a one-dimensional lens, I say I have enough oil to last one day. How come I have an eight-day holiday? When I put on 3D lenses, I suddenly see that, hello! Who says that oil should even last one day? If I understand the correct perspective that everything is a miracle from God, so oil lasting even 5 minutes is a miracle from God. And hence, why do I have an eight-day holiday if there's enough oil to last one day? Who says that oil should last one day? But when I celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days, it's reminding me that this is the perspective of life. Not to take anything for granted. And that's in fact from a diet in 15 in the Lashon of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that Tzarich Adam Lizaher first says be very careful, Kedei Lo Hodiya HaNeis, to publicize the miracle. And here the Rambam writes, Kedei Lo Hodiya HaNeis, singular, the miracle. And then the Rambam goes on, V'la Hosi, V'shem HaKel, V'odaya Lo Ala Nisim Shat Halanim. And then I increase my shevach and hodaya, I increase my gratitude al hanisim, plural. The miracles that God has done for me. Hanukkah is putting on 3D lenses to appreciate, don't take life for granted. The neis pach shemen is just an impetus to look at life from a deeper vantage point, to appreciate, to be more insightful. Chaim notes, when the Rambam writes Al HaNisim Shasalanu, it doesn't say the Nisim of the Mechama. It's Nisim in general. Because not only Nisim, the miracles that are connected to the war, it's the miracles that are connected to what? To ourselves, our lives. And now we can understand on a much deeper level the Hanewa Salalu in 17. When we speak about these lights that we light, and then all 8 days kula halo l'shim chagadol. Why are we lighting these candles? It's kedei lahodos l'halos, in order to do what? To say thank you. To light the candles, but not to say the thank you. To light the candles, but not to put on the glasses, we've missed the boat. There's a great mashal. There was Simcha Zissel of Kel, 22-24 gives. I'll just give it a modern day example of this. It just happened to be in the States. Just got back last week. I was there for 2 weeks. One of the places that I went to was L.A. A friend of mine emailed me before I went to L.A. saying, you know, Shira, if you're coming, would you mind bringing me parchment paper? You know those paper that you bake on? She said, my brownies come out better if they're baked on Eretz Yisrael paper. Now, no one can disagree with that. Everything connected to Eretz Yisrael comes out better. So I said, sure. So now imagine the following conversation. Went to her on a Sunday afternoon. She was saying, Shira, did you get the email? Yep. Great. You read the email? Yep. Great. So where's the stuff? The stuff? Yeah, the email. Yeah. You read it? Yeah. So where's the stuff? Oh, you wanted me to bring the stuff. I thought you wanted me to read the email. I read it. It was really an email. She would say, you can't win it. Like, you missed the boat. Says the simple, this little kill. That's all. You're reading Hanegra Salalu, Kedei Lahodo Salahala. Kedei Lahodo Salahala means deliver the stuff. It means be filled with Shevach and Odayah to Abariola. You're going to read it and not be filled with gratitude? You're going to read it and not express thanks to God? It's like reading an email and not delivering the goods. This is what it means, Kedei Lahodo Salahala. And the end line of Rav Simcha Zissel 24, Oy Vavoy Ladam. Woe to the person who's acting like a monkey. You know that book, Cats for Sale? Tis, tis, tis. That's what we're like. Hanei Rasalalo, Hanei Rasalalo. Where is the Hodo Salalo? Where's the gratitude? Let's take this much deeper, my friends. And this is what I really like to share with you today, and this is my gift. There's something very special about the candles that enables us to be filled with lahodos u'lahala, to be filled with gratitude toward God. If we move to the back page for one moment, let's learn together some Hasidic ideas, some in front of us, some I'll add, on Hanukkah. There's an interesting Or Gedayahu. According to Malbim, who quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, that you find in source one, in all Sheshim Edreitz sheet, Matsinu Delokti Vayhi Kain by Bria Sa'or. If you look at the creation story, you'll find that in every day of creation, it says, Vayhi Kain, and it was so. Something was created, Vayhi Kain, and it was so. The exception is by the light. By the light, it doesn't say Vayhi Chen and it was so because it wasn't so. What happened to the original light? We know Shira'asha Ein Ha'olam Kedai Lo V'Gadzol L'Tzadiki L'Asi Lovo. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that this light was going to be abused by the Rishayim, by the wicked. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? He was nignaz it. He concealed it for the righteous in the future. And therefore, it doesn't say Vayhi Chen and it was so because it was changed. Continues. The Malbi, by the hadlaka of the menorah of Aaron and Kohen in Parshas Balotcha, it says, Vayas Kain Aaron. The missing Vayhi Chain in the creation is brought back by the Vayas Kain Aaron, because when Aaron lit the menorah, he lit the menorah from this Or Haganos, from this concealed light. It's as if a Bereshit who took this light and put it in a treasure house, but said, this light is so powerful. I want glimmers of this light to be found in the world. I want some people to be able to benefit from this light. And therefore, the menorah's light, which was the Eidus of Chabai El Olam, Sheshchina Shor Yisrael, it was a testimony that Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is in Klai Yisrael in the Beis Hamikdash. It was because of the power of this Or HaGadol. This original light is found in the Lakas of the menorah. Now, work with me. We know the famous Rabban, that you were forever. And therefore, my friends, first you bring down that our menorahs that we light. Aleinu Salalu Kodesh Ne'elekdesh. They're the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash. But it's much deeper than that. Work with me. Adam HaRishon was able to benefit for this, from this life 12 hours on Friday from the time the world was, he was created, noonday, Erev Shabbat, 24 hours on Shabbat, that's Borei Morei Ha'esh after Shabbat, 36 hours, 12, 24, 36 hours, Adam HaRishon had this life. Says the Baal HaRokeach, and see, that is why we light all together, not including the Shamash, we light 36 candles. Each candle that we light parallels one of those hours of the Or HaGadol. This light, which is described by Chazal as Adam HaRishon being able to see from one end of the world to the other, it's a light of clarity. It's a light like, you know what you're doing here in this world. It's the same lashon the Gemara Nida uses by the light over a child's head in its mother's womb. We also have that clarity vision. Like there was one point in our life we knew what we were doing here. Hanukkah is a glimpse into that light. And that's why the B'nai Tzatzkar tells us that the month where Hanukkah is predominantly found is a month called Kislev. Kislev is made up of two words. Kes Lamed Vav. The Kisui, the concealed 36 Lamed Vav candles. The 36 hours are revealed in this month. That's the power of the Or HaGadol. The power of clarity. But you will also know, my friends, it's wrote down in Sefer Sichron Yitzchak, that there are 36 tzaddikim that are found in this world, 36 hidden tzaddikim, and we know there's an idea that every person is an olam mali. We are all an entire world, right? You save one person, and then you save a whole world. So which means, do the math with me, that if there are 36 tzaddikim, hidden tzaddikim in this world, and each and every one of us is a world, so therefore that means that each and every one of us has within us 36 hidden tzaddikim, which is translated as 36 hidden kochos hanefesh, 36 hidden points of potential to develop. What is the Hanukkah menorah about, as the Sif Shalom points out in source number 2, fifth line down, the inyan lir osam hu, what does it mean to see them? El lir osam bilva, just to look at the candles. Lefi sha'or hazeh haratohu b'neshama, shemeir en nishmas yehudi be'or alukud. It's a light that lights up our neshamas, that gives us clarity of vision. It's this powerful light. And I want you to know, my friends, it's brought down Sif Sfarim, that when we light candles, we're not alone. There's a very famous pasuk in Yeshaya, Perikva, pasuk Beis. Srafim omdim mimalo. The angels are standing mimalo above him. Lo again, 36. The srafim, the angels come and stand over us when we light. But it's much more than this. Follow with me, my friend. It is very deep. Wrote down in the Sfarim. But you know who else joins you when you light candles? All of the neshamas of your grandparents, great-grandparents, Ad Adam HaRishon, and all the neshamas of your children, children's children, Ad Bias Galah. Everyone's there. It's like I have Sukkah. All these neshamas are there. There's certain times in your life that it's a very crowded moment spiritually. You know what this means practically, my friend? I'll tell you exactly what it means. You know, my students who think in two colors, black and white, ask me practically, what should we be thinking about when we light candles? So I tell them one word. Think about one word. You know what that word is? Nothing. Think about absolutely nothing. Because when you think about absolutely nothing, what are you thinking about? Everything. Everything comes up. It's an incredible time of meditation, of these photographs. If we're speaking about la halo, la hodos, ala chulo, ala chamos, If we're speaking about looking at our lives and realizing the struggles and the salvation are part and parcel of who I am, and I'm being mayor and Yishmaso Shalatam, and I'm looking at Kiner Lukim Nishmasatam, I'm looking at my soul, I'm reflecting. The Hanukkah candles are a time of reflection on who I am. Who I am means that I am part of history from Adam HaRishon, that me door to door, from generation to generation, I'm carrying the torch. Am I taking my responsibility? Am I standing up for who I should be? And I also have to pass this torch down, me door to door, for future generations. Am I passing this torch down appropriately? What are those 36 kochos on nefesh I have within myself? Do I walk around life apathetic, oh, whatever comes to me, comes to me? Or am I ready to search and think and introspect? Because those lights are the lights of the Or HaGadol. It's a light of clarity. It's a gift. It's a gift. In my mind, there are a number, but one of the saddest spiritual moments in the Jewish calendar year are people who light Hanukkah candles and then leave. Can you imagine leaving those candles? Can you imagine leaving the point of inspiration, of direction, of meditation, of the Or Pnei Melech Chaim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, the Serafim are standing there, you as a Kohen lighting the Kedusha of the Or HaGadol in your menorah? Been nice. See you later, tomorrow night. Oy vavoy, the one who does a maaseh kofal. And this is the machloket between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says, the first night, I'll really be into it. Second night, there's an Indian, a woman not doing malacha for the first half hour. On eighth night, since Beis Shammai, you look at your watch, a half hour, that is so long. And Beis Hillel, who says that this is what we need to aspire to, if I'm just getting started the first night. I'm beginning with my halal hodaya. I'm beginning with my introspection. By the eighth night, Beis Hillel is challenging us, you're not going to want to leave until that last candle flickers out. And then you're going to leave with sadness. And that special gift that was found in our midst has been taken away until next year, Beis Hashem. My friends, if we summarize the first level, and I will briefly do the second. My Hanukkah, what is the focus of Hanukkah? The focus of Hanukkah is the mace of the oil, because that allows me to put on 3D glasses to be able to see that there's nothing as natural in the world. Everything's a miracle from God. And I can say the Alanisim with that perspective. Obviously, I light the candle the first day because that too is a miracle, no less than in lighting 7 extra days. Everything that God does is a miracle. That's the whole union of life. And I recognize that when I light the candles, I'm focused on the hallel lodos, thanking God for everything. I'm putting my life into perspective. I'm giving myself insight and direction of who I am and where I'm going. I'm able to find those 36 kochos and nefesh, those 36 deeper parts of myself that allow me to be me, to continue the torch from the past, to be able to give it down to the future. Beis Shammai says, it's hard to maintain that level of passion. And Beis Hillel says, force yourself to reach this level. Force yourself to become filled increasingly every night with introspection and with l'hala l'hodos. Briefly, my friends, let's look on source 28 on the national level. There's a very interesting malbim in Daniel that said, V'kfar yifarer, I've already explained, Shishivat Bayit Sheni lo nechshav l'gula hamyu'edet, that the return in the second temple period is not part of the ultimate ula. Ki ha'galut v'chal mizman galut ha'rishon b'mein v'chanetzar. The Golos, the exile, are started at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, v'imashech at ha'gula atida, and will end when the final redemption. And the Shivat Yisrael b'mei Bayit Sheni b'Shivatam Sham Nechshav Min HaGalut. Klai Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, with the base of Hikdash, was still Galut. Hence, we call it Galut Yoba, the exile of Yoba. And here the Sifrei Chaim develops a very interesting concept. He says, if this begins, really, the major aspect of this long 2,000-year Galut, then the Hanukkah story, which is one of the first major episodes in our walking through this exile, becomes a paradigm of Jewish history. Jews fall away from God. God comes down with a punishment. Jews come back with Mesiras Nefesh to God. God saves us. Why can't Hanukkah be written down? Question number 5. Because Hanukkah is not a one-time aspect. Hanukkah continually, perpetually happens. Something written down means it was. Goodbye. Finished. No, Hanukkah's not finished. Chanukah's happened, Tachvatat, Spanish Inquisition. Chanukah is a consistent aspect of Jewish history. And it's the miracle of Jewish survival. That's what we're celebrating. The Hala Ulahotos on the universal national level is thanking God that the Klai Yisrael are still here. And with this, we can appreciate the end of 31 and 32, the Chosi Gaivitz, who explains that when I look at all of this aspect called Jewish survival, Jewish history, in my mind, this was a greater miracle than all the open miracles that Hashem has done. Question 6. All the open miracles are darkness, are nighttime. Esther is the morning star and ends all of this. Even though we're in Hester Bunny, we're in physical darkness, it's compared to daytime, because there's nothing greater than Jewish survival. There's nothing greater than the fact that all the other nations have disappeared except us. This is a famous piece in Paul Johnson's book 39, which was a joy. I'm sure you've read this book, History of the Jews. The right-hand paragraph, the Jews should over the millennia attract such unparalleled, indeed inexplicable hatred would be regrettable, but only to be expected. Above all, that the Jews should still survive when all those other ancient people were transmuted or vanished into the opulence of history was wholly predictable. How could it be otherwise? Providence decreed it, and the Jews obeyed. It's known. God, Jews, we're around. It's a miracle. And this is the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, yeah, but look at us. At the time of Bayi Sheni, we were an A. We were so connected to God. And now, the assimilation rate is incredible. We're a one. And Beis Hillel counters and says, you know, to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu at the time of Bayi Sheni, that's what we call a no-brainer. Obviously, we're connected. But to be connected 2,000 years later, after everything we've gone through, you would ask somebody in Auschwitz 60 years ago, would you believe the resurgence of the learning of the yeshivas, of the Beis Yaakov, of all the schools of Orthodoxy today? They would say, what? Impossible. You're dreaming. Judaism is literally up in smoke. We're an eight. It's an eight. Look around you. Eretz Yisrael today is an eight. It's incredible. It's an easy that he flows. You look around at how the Beheshiv Lev Avos Salbonim, how children are bringing back their parents. You know, I'll tell you a story that a girl at Archevina just related to me a few weeks ago. I found it such a touching story. She told me about her grandparents who were agnostics. Like the Shita don't believe in God. And part of their will, they're in their 80s, they asked to be cremated. So she has a brother who's also learning in yeshiva, and her brother asked his rabbis, is this such a good idea to be cremated? And the rabbis responded, no, not such a Jewish idea. So the brother turns to this girl and says, you're closer to the grandparents, you convince them. She's like, gee, thanks, I love you too. Like, you know, how are you going to convince people who are b'shita, don't believe in God? Right? Religion isn't part of their mindset. Don't be cremated. She wrote a Gevaltic email to them. The girls had just finished going on one of these called kever hopping healing. You know, you go from kever to kever to daven at different grave sites. You know, it's like the story of the boy. This is the first time in Israel, and his father takes him to kever rofo, marshal, kela, and kever nakeder. And the little boy turns to his father and says, Papa, are there any live people? invite and bring my children and my grandchildren to your grave site to talk about you and to dab it at your belly. So I'm asking you not to be cremated, but that there should be a muffled kura, a place to be buried that I can dab in. And you know what? What do you think? Is he successful? More ideas, my friends, and we'll close. This gives us a little bit of a deeper insight, again, that back page, to the beautiful Minhag Yisrael, and everything is kadosh of the dreidel. The dreidel. So we know, my friends, if Chanukah is about the Pach Shemen, the spiritual victory of the Jews, that we have been able to survive through all these exiles. So let's take a look at a Golos dreidel. Not a Eretz Yisrael dreidel, a Golos dreidel. And see how the dreidel reflects this idea of Jewish survival. It's an idea that's brought down 3 through 6 in the B'nai Yisachar. Rabbi Mung quotes or alludes to it. We know that in Parshas Vayigash, when Yaakov is going down to meet Joseph in Egypt, and we know that Egypt is a paradigm of all the Golios, of all of the exile experiences, Vahi, Bayamim, Harabim, Mahem, Rabbi, Romi, Babel, Yavan, Madai, it encompasses the entire exile experience. And that if we're able to get out of Egypt, ultimately we'll be able to be redeemed from all the exiles. So therefore, when Yaakov Avinu is sending Yehuda Lahoro Lefan of Goshna down to Goshen to meet Joseph HaTzadik, it's not just setting a base medrash there, it's setting up future redemption. Yosef represents Mashiach ben Yosef. Yehuda represents Mashiach ben David from Shevet Yehuda. The two of them meet together in Goshna in order to set up this potential of Lahoro Lefan of redemption. And what is Goshna? So Goshna, we know, the same letters as the dreidel. So we know that Gimel, Nun, Shin, Hey also represent the different aspects within a person. The Gimel is the guf, the body of a person. The Shin is the seichel, the intellect. The Nun is the nefesh of a person, the emotional part. And the Hey represents Hakol, the totality. Each one of the nations that came to subjugate the Jews, each of the four nations dominated one of these aspects. Babel dominated our nefesh. Nefesh, ki takriv mekem korban. When a soul would bring a korban to God, a sacrifice to God, when they destroy the base of Mikdash, they destroy that emotional connection that we had with God. Clearly, the guf is lahashmi la'arov la'abed, is clearly parasa madai, it's a poor story to destroy it physically. Yavan is the sechel, hechshichu, what they named Shah Yisrael, to blind our eyes. Right? Become Hellenists. And Hakol is Edom, they destroy the base of Mikdash, or Nefesh, they've destroyed us physically as well as spiritually at Hayomazeh. Explains the B'nai Yisachar, God is spinning the dreidel from above. The dreidel spins on that one point on the bottom, the Kutzo Shel Yud. And what that represents, the actus, the point of unity, the point of belief in God. Life, Jewish history has been that we fall on different sides. Sometimes the guf is being destroyed, sometimes the nefesh, sometimes all of it, sometimes our sechel. We go through different tkufos, different periods of history. But you want to know what the model and vision of Chanukah is? It's a dreidel that spins but never stops. Where all the nations will believe in the oneness of God. Where all the nations will be able to have that vision of Svanya, that they'll all call out, the Safa Berura, with one language, with clarity, with the Kro Kulam B'Shem Hashem, to call all in the name of God. That's the imagery of a dreidel, the dreidel representing our hope, of a dreidel that spins but never stops. My friends, on this level, just summarize, and we'll add one last point. We're not only lahalo lahodos for the salvations that God has done for us individually, but Chanukah and the great Hasidic masters were able to see the entire Jewish history looking at the candles. is thanking God for Jewish survival. And that's why Chanukah is not written down, because it happens over and over again. It's the paradigm of Jewish history. And this Jewish survival, compared to all the open miracles, it considered daytime, and hence Esther ends the period of open miracles, nighttime, and she's the morning star. And now we're in the tkufa of the daytime period, which is, although Hester Panim, although concealment, tremendous revelation of the hand of God. And Shammai says, yeah, but look where we're at. And Michelle says, yeah, but look at where we're at. And that's the difference between 8 to 1 and 1 to 8. My friends, we've answered all the questions except one, and that is Mahajan, Mahajan, Min, and Mahajan. Let's take a look at source 41. We'll end with this. The Org of Ayahu notes the Gemara Shabbat that says the following: the Yom Rishon Haroa Mevarech Shtayim, the Rishon Yomi Mevarech Echa. Let's say Lu Yitzuyar, a person doesn't have a house, right? There's no one lighting for him. So if he's walking down the street on the first day of Chanukah, and he's Haroa, he sees the candles, he says two brachos. What two brachos does he say? He says Shasam Yisim, and he says Shechem. He doesn't say Lahadikner to light, because he didn't light. So ask us a very basic question. Why is the Gemara predicating saying Shechianu on Haroa, if you see the candle? I would have thought that as soon as Chanukah comes, you know, Shkia, Tzeitzakom coming, sunset, it's the stars are coming out, I should say Shechianu, it's like any other holiday. So the Sasem says the following, based on the Chudushay Arim. Ki hayamim de Chanukah einam kedoshim ba'atzmutam. Chanukah, the days themselves don't have intrinsic holiness. The rabbis are rus nefesh Yisrael, they are neiros yacholu l'kadesh hayamim she'arebe hem haro mishamayim. It's only through the awakening of Klal Yisrael, through seeing those candles, through seeing that Or HaGadol, through seeing that powerful spiritual light, the Or Pnei Melech Chayim, the godly light, the light of our souls, are we able to be successful in tapping into the Kedusha, the holiness, the Ha'ara, the intensity of the day. I think mashma means this, and that's why you have to see the candles to say Shachianu. The candles inspire the day. I think your time is this, is the following idea. On a national level, one who's Rahman al-Flan, been through a Shoah, been through Russian refusnik, been through a historical, Jewish historical aspect, will light Hanukkah candles differently than someone who hasn't. And I would even add that this latest wave of aliyah, I remember coming on Nefesh B'Nefesh 3 summers ago. We were one plane that summer. Right? There's one coming in with Hashem tomorrow. They're hoping this year to bring in 10 plane loads of olim. So thousands of olim. Someone who decides to join the stage and not sit in the bleacher seats of the grand finale of Jewish history, which we're in that kufa right now, but to be really part of it on center stage, you're going to light Hanukkah candles differently. And likewise on the individual level. You know those bar mitzvah speeches where the kid gets up at the end of the speech and says the following: I'd like to thank my Abba and Ima and my little brother Yankee. I'm not impressed. You want to say thank you, what do? Put the sheet down and speak from where? The heart. Abba, Ima, thank you so much. Yankee, you're such a good brother. Lahalo lahodos isn't reading Haneiros Halalu. Kedei lahodos lahalo. That's how it's about. Hanukkah is a very personal holiday. It's about appreciating everything that Hashem does for us. The tshuah and the mochavos. The salvations and the struggles. It's about appreciating life. It's about getting perspective in life. It's about putting on the 3D lenses, not to take anything for granted that happens in my life. And each and every one of us, where we stand in life, and because, and based on, and it changes and it's in flux, our life situations, we stand in front of those Hanukkah candles. We say hallow. We will hallow ulahodos on different levels. Mahadrin, mahajimina, mahadrin. Because lahalol lahodos is not one script. It's very personal. And each and every one of us is challenged to make it as mahadrin min and mahadrin as it can be. That's how we pass it. Try and do the best way you can. And when you're filled with lahalol lahodos, challenge yourself to do it the best way you can. My friends, I leave us all with a bracha. that as we light Chanukah candles this year and Emir Toshem for many years to come, feel the Srafim Omdi Mimalo, feel the intensity of the experience as you stand as part of a larger chain of Jewish history with literally the torch in your hand, and you're able to use that light to be able to discover the 36 Kochos HaNefesh that are found within you, and you'll be able to develop yourself to the best and to the fullest of your potential, then not only are you going to be able to change yourself, to change the world around you, but to change Dorei Doros after you, and that you should be Matzliach in being filled with Lahalo Lahodos, appreciating all the different aspects that Hashem gives you to make you the best you can be.
Amen. Thank you.